This week, we're examining risk and how we handle statistics and probability. And today, we're at the doctor's office. Many of us get confused by claims of how much the risk of, say, a heart attack might be reduced by taking medicine for it. And doctors can get confused, too. Karen Sapuka runs the Health Decision Sciences Center at Boston's Massachusetts General Hospital.
We did a survey of our primary care physicians a few years back, and we asked them, how confident are you in your ability to talk about numbers and probabilities of outcomes with your patients? And what we found surprised us a little bit. Only about 20% of the physicians said they were very comfortable using numbers and explaining probabilities to patients.
Doctors like Lee Simmons typically use words instead of numbers.
As doctors, we tend to often use words like very small risk, very unlikely, very rare, very likely high risk.
Simmons is an internist. She's part of a group practice of internists who provide primary care at Mass General. Those words, she says, can be unclear to a patient.
People may hear small risk, and what they hear is very different from what I've got in my mind, or what's a very small risk to me. It's a very big deal to you if it's happened to a family member.
Dr. Simmons is part of a program called Shared Decision Making. It gives patients online, written, and visual information, and one aim is to make risk understandable, to bridge the gap between percent probabilities and words.
Most doctors would say if they know people have risk factors like diabetes and high blood pressure and they smoke, our concern is extremely high. I'm often surprised when I put that into, say, a calculator and I see that the number is only, in fact, 25%. In my mind, I'm conceptualizing something even higher than that. But for most of us, that's a threshold that's quite high. 1 in 4.
1 in 4 is a high number.
Yeah.
You know, one can look at that and say, hey, the glass is 3/4 empty. I mean, it's, you know, the odds are in my favor.
A lot of people will say that.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, Dr. Simmons and others who use shared decision-making tools are trying to develop better ways to tell patients about risk.
Have a seat.
Okay.
So, Joe, I thought we might talk about a little bit about your cholesterol.
Joe Bianco of Charlestown, Massachusetts, is 60, and rather than just tell him how much at risk he is of a heart attack, rather than give him a number, Dr. Simmons makes it visual. She shows him a computer screen displaying a visual calculator developed by the Mayo Clinic. Imagine 100 green dots arranged on a 10x10 grid, each dot with a little smile symbol on it.
If we look at each of these dots as one person, it'll show us in the next 10 years how many of these people might be expected to have a heart attack. So we put in your age.
Once Joe Bianco's information is entered, some of those green dots will turn yellow, and those smiles will turn upside down into frowns.
And then looking back at the most recent cholesterol numbers, your good cholesterol is 34, and as we've talked about, I'd like to see that a little bit higher.
When Bianco's profile is submitted, and the screen represents 100 men like him, 12 dots turn yellow, 88 remain green, 12% of men like him will have a heart attack. He's seeing a graphic representation of that probability, and those unhappy yellow dots are literally marginal, a little more than one vertical row of them running up the right side, greatly outnumbered by the still smiling green dots.
It looks like my chances are pretty slim. What's that, 10, 12%?
12%.
Yeah.
Bianco had decided earlier not to take a statin medicine to lower the risk of a heart attack, and the 12 frowning yellow dots out of 100 don't change his mind.
12% isn't bad. If it was 25%, but I don't, that doesn't look like threatening news to me.
Well, then Dr. Lee Simmons enters another factor into the Mayo Clinic's online computer. What if all 100 men fitting Joe Bianco's profile take a statin drug every day for the next 10 years? The number of yellow dots on the screen, the percent who will have a heart attack, changes for the better.
That number goes down to 7. So 5 people are saved from a heart attack by taking a medication. Some people look at that and say, well, that's almost cutting the risk in half. Other people say, well, I don't know, it's still 88 people who didn't benefit either way and only 5 who were who had a benefit. How does that ring to you?
If the facts support it, then I'd take the, you know, it makes my decision valid.
Oh, really?
By looking at the graph.
Yeah.
It substantiates it.
After Bianco left her office, Dr. Simmons told us how that graph has made her job easier.
In his case, he has had a long-standing concern about taking medications, and he has found it helpful to look at things more in that graphic form. So to engage him in that way has been pretty useful for me, and not holding out an absolute, you must take a medication, but that I'm going to work with you to improve your overall health has been useful. So I'm in agreement with him that holding off on a medication is a reasonable choice.
What brought you in to see me?
Well, I've been having increased hip stiffness and pain.
We're still at Mass General, but no longer in primary care. We're now in the orthopedics department. Jim Westberg of Nashua, New Hampshire, has come to see surgeon Andy Freiberg. Dr. Freiberg is in charge of hips and knees.
I just want to rotate your hips. Tell me if anything hurts or is weird. I won't do it hard. Does it hurt to rotate it in?
A little, right there.
Westberg is a very active 59. He hikes, swims, skis, and rock climbs when he's not at work, selling 3D printers. He wants a hip replacement, and in the course of examining him, Andy Freiberg cites some numbers.
Your risk of infection is probably under 1%, probably close to 0.5%.
That less than 1% risk does not deter Jim Westberg. Before his appointment, he had received a shared decision-making packet, a booklet, and a DVD all about hip replacement. He said that was helpful. He said he did some other research, and just as important, anecdotally, people he knew had had the surgery and were thrilled with the outcome. I asked how important it had been to hear numbers, percent probabilities attached to, say, the risk of infection.
I think they're fairly important because I actually have an engineering degree. I've got a technical background, so maybe I'm a little biased, but numbers do mean something to me, and the risk we talked about of 0.5% to 1% doesn't really concern me that much.
If he'd said 15% to 20% risk of infection,
that would be a concern.
That would be a serious concern.
Yeah.
Can words suffice in that context? That is it okay to say the risk is really very low, or it's very rare, or do you need to hear a number attached to it?
I like to hear a number attached to it. I do personally think the numbers are important. I mean, how somebody says, well, it's a moderate risk. Well, what does moderate mean? With numbers, it's much clearer.
That's Jim Westberg of Nashua, New Hampshire. And so, Audie, we've heard about communicating the probability of a successful operation or an illness by words, with images, or using numbers. And Mr. Westberg says numbers are much clearer than words. Here is one measure of that I came across that I want to try out on you, if
okay.
you don't mind. It's about how common side effects are for certain drugs. The FDA urges drug companies to give numerical values for risk, not, and I'm quoting from their website here, not vague terms such as rare or infrequent. But a few years ago, the European Union matched a scale of terms for side effects, very common, common, uncommon, rare, and very rare, with numerical definitions for each of those 5 levels of frequency. So what, here's the question to you. What percent of cases do you think qualified for the top level, a very common side effect?
Well, when you think about like ads for drugs and everything, you always hear so many side effects. I don't know. So maybe I'll say 73%.
Well, the EU defined a side effect as very common if it occurred in more than 10% of cases.
That's all?
That's all. And what if a drug label said, according to those EU definitions, that a particular side effect was very rare, the least frequent probability they defined. What percent of cases do you think?
Well, very rare, that's when I want to hear, you
know,
1% or less.
Actually, in this case, a very rare side effect, according to that European Union scale, is something that occurs in fewer than 0.01% of cases. That's one.
Oh, so I'm willing to take on more risk,
well,
it sounds like.
I have asked several colleagues and friends over the past several weeks what these words suggest to them in the way of numbers, and the answers are all over the map.
Right.
Tomorrow, in fact, we'll hear more about numbers and prescription drugs. We'll be right back.